So today, what I want to visit on, help. Who needs help out there? Help! Help! Now, you might be sitting there going, I got everything under control. I don't need help. The devil's got you thinking that. We all need help. So this week, I'm thinking of this, and it's like one thing after another. Commercials come on. Commercials come on. Do you realize that we've got so many things out there that wants to help us? That even if we don't think we need help, pretty soon after about a few hours of watching a program or seeing a lot of these info commercials or these the web thing, whatever, it's like you can get up to go get some iced tea and come back going, you know what, I didn't think I needed help, but I need help. The marketing has got me brainwashed. I need help, but there is help out there for so many things. If you're scared you're going to fall and you got a loved one and they're by themselves, get LifeLock. It's there to help you. Help. If you're to fall, it's got a little thing. It'll tell when that person's no longer vertical or something, I guess, you know. Or if they don't move in whatever time frame they have programmed in this little monitor, you'll probably hear something on something saying, oh, Tim, are you okay? And I might be thinking, is that you, God? I did that one time when we went and had a vehicle from Fagan's, and Pastor was along, and we were doing something, and he left the van, and I don't know, we were just trying out this thing. And it had, back in the day, you know, I was new to this stuff, but, you know, the OnStar stuff and all that, you know. So I'm looking, you know, as what a guy does, buttons, what do? Push them. Hey, what does this do? So I push this thing, and I wonder what this does. All of a sudden it goes, yes, can I help you? And I looked at Pastor, I said, God is a female. God must be a woman. This voice comes out of the air. It's like, yes, how can I help you? Sorry, just pressed the button by mistake. She probably says, you probably didn't. You know how many people do that just to see what happens? Like, you know, you see like a Red Cross or, you know, hey, what's this do? Hey. So after that, I always realized that they're listening to us, I'm sure. But we have helps out there for LifeLock. You want to do a construction project? We got a website that'll help you find a contractor that'll do a good job. Help. You need insurance of this or that? We've got a program. We've got a company that will help you decide on the programs, the procedures, the things, the policies that you need. Lifeline, medical alert, mobile help. All these things can continue on. They can help you find a job, help you find a contractor, help you locate the car of your dream. I always wondered about that. I was like, really? You just go online and order a car? Whatever happened to going out and kicking the tires? Open up the hood, even though now it's all covered up with shrouds of stuff. You can't see the engine, but I go, if I look at a new car, well, used, but on the lot, I open up the hood and I look in there and it's like, I guess there's an engine in there. Close it down. I see the radiator, the bottle for the windshield wiper fluid. I guess it's good. But I saw that a few days or a week or so back, you know, this Carvana. I saw a truck in town. It was actually a Carvana truck, just like they had on the commercial. This yellow two-door sports car was in the back on this flatbed, and somebody, I'm thinking as it passes me, I'm going, man, somebody just ordered that car, and they're just going to have it delivered to their driveway. Carvana. You need help getting a date? Let us help you. Help find a mate? Let us help you. Help, help, help. Society has understood for some time, I guess, that we as a people are needy. We can't do things on our own anymore. There's somebody out there to help you do anything and everything that you need to do. And that struck me after I was looking at this in Hebrews. And it was Hebrews 13 and 6. I'll say this, and then I'll jump back just a little bit. But it says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Now, with the Lord being your helper, what happens after that? When you get to that point, let me know. When you get to Hebrews 13:6, are you there? So I'm going to say this. Somebody follow what I'm missing. You take the where I lead off. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can mere man do to me? What can this world do to me? The Lord is my helper. Helper. You know, when that talks about that, it's talking about like cry for help. Anybody here cried for help for God? Help me, Lord. What this is kind of meaning, and we can look at, and how it really helps me understand how my God loves me and is there for me, is this: that it means to run. So when I look at this, it's one who comes running when we cry for help. So this word is what? It's describing this: that the Lord is poised and he's ready to rush to the relief of his oppressed children when they shout out for his assistance. Doesn't that kind of give you some comfort, even knowing that he's poised? He's waiting. He's got a lot going on, but he's God. And we'll get into this in Matthew, but quickly, remember, it talks about how he sees everything, like that of a sparrow. Back in that day, a sparrow was like very insignificant, and it's kind of insignificant today. Like a sparrow is like, bleh, they're just a gray bird, big deal. But back then, they ate a lot of them. In those times, it was food. But if God is concerned with that of a bird that size, and he knows when it falls, when he knows the number of hairs on your head, even when we comb each morning, and I don't know about you, but you lose how many hairs a day, God's already got a tote board going up there. Well, Tim, you had, 335,000. Now you got 300 and, 10,000. Stop combing your hair. But all that is telling us, when you look at that in Matthew, is that God is precise on his care for us. It's just not a broad brush that he figures like, oh, well, they lose a few hairs. God would say, I got the whole world in my hands trying to balance this thing. And who can care less about hairs on this person and that person? And who cares about a little bird falling? Man, I got some big things. What people would say, I got some big fish to fry, But your God, my God, the God of creation, says that, and as we're sharing here, the writer of Hebrews saying, our help comes from him, and he's poised, waiting to respond to your cry. Has anybody cried out to God for help? He was waiting for you to do that and ready to come. Now, I'm sure some of us would say, yeah, but I haven't seen him yet. He's still coming. But we have to kind of have that understanding of the things of God, that it's all in God's hands. It's all in God's timing. It's not in my hands. It's not in my timing for how he responds to Tim. What Tim has to do is I have to relinquish all of that over to who? God. And say, I trust you, God, with my life. I trust you with this situation. And although I see it happening this way, and I want it to happen this way sooner, or whatever the case is, that nowadays, as we should get more mature with him, that we can resign ourselves to say, I'm waiting for you, Lord, when it's your time. And until it comes, I'm going to have faith that you've heard me and that my help is coming. And during this time, it might be a time that God says, your help is coming, Tim, but I'm going to use this time to help you build your faith, to build that faith muscle, to where you speak of these things. Are you willing to live those things? It's easy for anybody to stand before people to say, this is what you ought to do, right? This is the way it's always going to be. This is the way it's going to happen. Just have faith. But until we all work out that faith and that faith muscle and that testimony to come, it's all each one of us having to take that stand of seeing something that's not visibly there by that of faith, believing in the unseen until I see it. So I believe that my God is poised and ready to help me at any time that I beckon him to say, oh God, come and help. And I too in my life have asked for that. I too have prayed some things that I have yet to see take place. But does that mean that I give up on God? No. It just means that I keep talking to God. And then I keep asking him, well, okay, Lord, it's up in your hands. It's in your time. I don't understand it. But when it comes across my spirit again, I pray it. I keep knocking. Lord, Lord, Lord. So anyway, we find this, and especially for us that are serving him, because Jesus Christ reconciled us back to God, we become that of a child of God. So let us look at this. Now we go one step back in Hebrews 13:5, but it does say this, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And because of that, I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, poised, ready to help me." So we got to at times be where we're at, is to be content in those places of where we're at. For God has put us there for a season, for a time, for whatever it is. And you know what, as I begin to think of this, and I thought upon this a little bit more at times, is we find that, look around, we are a society that we don't stay content with where we're at. Because of some of that, and not being able to be content with what you have, because you want more, because you just want more, that's not being content. You just want more because it's kind of like that covetousness type stuff. I just want more of this. It's just, I just need it. I just want it. And you find yourself as a society, you know, I don't know, this is just a way out there thought, but we find ourselves into a lot of debt, a lot of things that we get snowballed into, to where it's like, it's because you weren't content with what you had. You needed something more. You didn't really need that something more. You just wanted it because you just wanted it. Be satisfied. Don't camp out where we're at. My God is my supplier. It says here, right, that he will never leave me nor forsake me. Be content with such things that you have, for he said he will never leave you nor forsake you. So I'm content with these things that God has given me. And I've got to continually work on that so that I don't fall over into that. I just want more because I just want more. So as we look at these things, the Lord is my helper. So let's look at real quick here. Covetousness and financial fear are overcome. We're looking at Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Covetousness and financial fear are overcome by a contentment founded upon the assurance of God's constant presence and the promises that he extends to us to supply our daily needs. Because of the word of assurance that he himself has spoken, that we can boldly respond with a declaration of confidence. How many of you here boldly declare with a confidence that the God that you serve is the God that meets your needs? That he's there. He hears my cry of help. And when I know that he's hearing my cry of help, I have no fear. And if I have fear, take away the fear. Amen. I'm not to say that you won't have fear, but he's there to take that fear away as well. Another few areas here that we look at in our times of trouble, and we'll just kind of look quickly here. 46:1, Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. He's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is what? A strong tower. The righteous run to it, and are safe, which would be their safe, being secure and set on high. Hallelujah. Run to him. Run to him. Don't run to man. Don't run to this, that, or the other. Run to God when you've got a situation that's flared up in your life. Run to God when the situation is flared up in your family, in your job, in your finance, whatever the case might be. Run to him. Use wisdom, but run to him, you know. You get yourself in a mess, at least go up to it and say, Lord, I messed up. I need help. Forgive me. Set me back on the right path, whatever the case might be. When we know of our help and where it comes from, that we can have this peace. We can rest in the midst of adversity because we give our trials over to God and God handles those things. It's again, today, I want to encourage you that your help is that from the Lord. Now, the Lord may help you through somebody around you. Okay? a person, another person will come and be that help, will do that for you, will provide for this, will be whatever it is. And it's amazing how God, you know, may not just come right out and where your situation is. There's those times that I've heard that happening. But there's other times, too, that he works his help through others to help you. And then you look back, you go, what a blessing that was. Especially when that person says, I don't know why I felt I needed to call you today, or stop by, or drop this off, or give this to you, whatever the case might be. And it's that very thing that maybe you reached out to God about, and that person just solidifies that, God, you heard my plea. In Psalms 121, 1-2, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. My Lord, the one who made what? Heaven and earth. He made, he created, he developed, he put all this together. So do you think your problem is more intense and harder than putting creation together? Now to you, it might be. You know, when you're in the heat of the battle, there's nobody understanding what I'm going through like me because I'm in it and you just don't understand it. And truly that happens that way when that person's going through that. And by that of compassion and in love, we try to help them and we understand. I talk with people periodically and the things that they're dealing with, the things that they're going through, is very hurtful, very hard upon them. And it's things that I can't say, well, you know, this is what God says, you know, and I do say that, but I said it's easy for me to say this to you, but I know right now maybe it's not piercing in to where you're at to help you because what you're going through is a very traumatic time. And so I back off. A lot of times I'll say, I don't, you know, they may not even want prayer. It's like, I don't have to pray with you, brother, sister, but I will keep you in my thoughts throughout the days and the weeks ahead and offer up a prayer when my spirit just reminds me of the situation. It's kind of like I'm being a help. I want to be a help to you, but I'm not going to force the things of God on you until you understand what God is all about and that he truly is there. And if it's going to help you get there by how I handle, by that walking in the Spirit of God of how to nurture this person or this individual or this situation along into that, that's what it's all about, is how we work, how we facilitate the things of God into a person's life to help them. And not just be cavalier and say, well, you just got to let go and just let God do it. Yeah, that's really hard nose. Do it! And you know they're not going to do it. And a lot of the response back say, you don't realize what I'm going through. Easy for you to say that. And so that's where we have to walk with that understanding and compassion. But I can walk in that and I can work in that. Because if we, you, us, know the Word of God and what it says, all these things are working. And somehow I'm part of that mix that's going to help that person maybe for that hour, for that day, for that season, whatever the case might be. And then somebody else will step up to the plate to help, whatever. Maybe then after that, it kickstarts and this person is more in tune to the things of God. That's why I felt by the Spirit this morning of saying how the Spirit of God says, I'm in each of you working in the depths that you don't even know where I'm at. Because I've got to get stuff out of the depths of you, out of there, so that you have time or room enough for what I've got to put in there. Because anytime we try to force God over the top of a situation that that person continues to have, guess what's going to rise out of that if we don't get that other stuff out of there? That bad stuff will continue to will or work its way up. Here's the stuff. Here's God's stuff or the Spirit. We're working. Oh, look at this. He's getting better. And all of a sudden, we think we're right here. Oh, it's getting so much better. Isn't God great? And all of a sudden, this stuff here in the bottom works its way up out of the center of that person's thoughts, subconscious, whatever the case is. And all of a sudden, it's just like walking off of this platform. They're right back down. And so we got to ask God, Lord, you know what they're dealing with. You know what's happening to them. You know what's happening to me. Get this stuff out of me. If it's stuff that I've got to do, if it's stuff that I've got to confess, if it's stuff that I've got to, I will do that, Lord. But I know that my help is coming from you. Oh, hallelujah. Send the help, Lord. But let the Spirit move upon you. Let the Spirit move in you. Amen. Let the Spirit take up residence. I would much rather turn it all over to God than to try to help people with their problems. I've talked to some people. It's like, have you ever talked to people that have some major issues? And you just kind of like, you just come away dumbfounded. Like, I've sat across the table. I've talked to him on the phone. And it's like, I'm just like, oh my gosh. What can I say? How can I say it? A lot of times I go, man, Lord, they need some major help. But God is a major God. And I just lift it up to him. And many times I walk away, not saying a whole lot to probably help them, other than just saying, I'll listen, hopefully twice as much as I'll talk. And just let it come out, let it spew out. I think that's those things that's coming out of that person. Sometimes that could be that part of the Spirit working to where just confess these things, talk these things out, let these things go, and then be able to pray and fill that void, right? Fill that void with the Spirit of God. Because we know if we don't fill that void that comes out, you know, the enemy wants to come back in seven times stronger and just do more damage. So we just can't just willy-nilly wield a sword and say, demons be gone! And then we go on. Da, 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 da. Satisfied that, won that battle. No, you just opened that person up possibly for more than they've ever thought they would ever feel or sense or deal with that demon. And it's not necessarily always demon-possessed and stuff like that. It's just how things work within our lives. But anyway, it's like we've got to get that, and we've got to be the help that God wants us to be. But ultimately, when I talk to these individuals, these people on the phone, in person, whatever, I know that my God is, he's my helper, he's their helper too. They just don't realize it yet. The Holy Spirit guides me, fills me, teaches me, and directs me into things of God. They need the Holy Spirit. They just don't know it yet. And once that Spirit comes upon that and lives and takes residence within that person, they will have some help. Will it always be easy? No. But they got the help. They got the lifeline to call, you know? I don't know the answer to that. Want to use a lifeline? Yes. You use the Holy Spirit all the time, man. I want to turn to Psalms 121. I got a note here for that. I don't know why. It must have struck me sometime when I was looking at it. So let's learn together, okay? Okay, Psalms 121, 1 to 2. I'm going to read 1 through 8. Okay, so this is basically, I read initially verses 1 and 2, where it says that I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heavens, or made heaven and earth. And then it goes on with 3. He will not allow your foot to be moved. Thank you, Lord. That would be like, he would not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. He's not going to sleep. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, Psalms 121, 5, the Lord is your keeper. Keeper there could also be said, the Lord is your protector. Everybody that I've talked to, myself included, I need a protector. Do you need a protector? Yeah, I hope you realize that. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. And then verse 7, the Lord shall preserve you from evil. The Lord preserve you. Another word for preserve, if we look at it, and the meaning would be, the Lord shall keep you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now that, to me, when I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I become a child of God. I know this is in the Old Testament, and they're talking about things of Israel and the children and all that, but I'm a child of God when I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. This all begins to pertain to me in my own thinking that, you know, that he's going to preserve me or keep me in my going out and coming in from this time, from my time of receiving Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ came to reconcile me back to my Heavenly Father. And when I'm reconciled back to him, he's my dad. He is my dad. and my dad is going to take care of me. He's going to be there for me. My dad is the one when I call for help, he's poised, ready to come at the very call of help. He's on his way. It's like when you're needing something here in this world, you know, you can dial all these digits to call whoever, the police, the fire, the ambulance, or thank goodness they got it down to 3 digits because, you know, 911, you know. I need help and I need it fast. 911. Of course, they did all those things because it's a whole lot easier, of course, to remember 3 digits than, you know, what, 7? Have you ever been in a tense situation and try to dial 7 numbers? What is it? What is it? You know? So at least they thought 911. Your adrenaline's flowing and all that. Because when you get into a very tense situation, your body just starts messing up. You don't see things the way you see things. You don't hear things the way you think you're hearing them. You make up things that you think you saw but you didn't see. Those things happen, are all natural things that happens in a person when they're under a high amount of stress. When we are under a high amount of stress, and anybody under just stress living this life, you know, without anybody breaking in your home or a car accident or your house on fire, I mean, none of that, but just under amount of stress just in this life, we are. And sometimes if we get so fully of stress that we get to the point to where we just lose a connection of even thinking clearly, how do we point this out? How do I correct this? What do I do next? You have talked to people. I have talked to people. They will say this, I don't know which way to turn. Anybody heard that? I don't know which way to turn. They're lost. The thing we've got to realize is that our help comes from the Lord. And if nothing else, 911, call upon the Lord. You might stutter, you might stamper, you might like, oh, I don't know what else to do. Oh, Lord, come and help. You can at least remember that. You don't really, you know, in the time, maybe even have to remember any of the scriptures that's going to come and help you. But just remember that. That's like the 911. Oh, God, help. 911. He's poised, ready to go. He already knows what you need because he's God. He's all-knowing, all-present. He sees what you're needing. A lot of it is he's just waiting for you to call upon him. I got to wait for you to call. I'm poised. Come on. Come on. And then we get built up in ourselves and we go, oh, I'll handle it myself. God says, okay, I was ready to come and help you. But you and your pride says you can do it yourself. And if we could hear God, he'd probably say this. It's going to eat you up. You might win that day. You might sustain it for a week. But eventually, whatever the situation is, will befall you. And you will come out a lot worse than if we just went quickly to him and said, help me, God. So help me, God. Help me, God. Help me, help me, help me. So it says here, the saint, as we're, the writer of this, talks about, is that he is preserved, not in the sense that he will never suffer adversity. And that's the thing we've got to understand. These things that I'm saying to you up here about, you know, help, and if you got help, everything's going to be good, blah, blah, blah. No, you will have adversities in this life. And it talks about this, that we will, or this person will realize that they will never, it's not like they will have no adversity, but that he will go through adversity and come out a winner. You're going through a storm. You talk with people going through storms. You're going to be there with them. You're going to hold them up in prayer. You're going to do all you can. Of course, turn it over to God. And we got to be there long enough and be that support as much as we can. But we got to realize, and hopefully even within your own personal life, that the adversity you're in, if you can just hang on to God, he will bring you through victorious. And don't give up, don't give in, don't turn back. You know, there's those things talking about when people get in a terrible situation, it does one of two things. It either draws them closer to God or it pushes them further away. And that pushing further away is upon their own thing. Because they said, well, if I had God and he was so much of a God to me and this is happening, evidently he doesn't love me. Evidently there is no God. Evidently I've been lied to all of these years. And they will take that situation and turn aside from God. So one of two things is either going to happen. It's like going into a battle You know, there are some people that are designed in their makeup that when somebody cries for help, there's people of their nature that they run to that cry for help, even knowing that they might lose their life, but they're going to run to that help because something has God has put within me. And there's others that run from that. I was watching a show last night on a Smithsonian. I was telling Dan a little bit about it, but it had to do with we have canine out here periodically training from the county and the city and all that, and watching these dogs. And I caught this title, caught my interest yesterday when I was flipping through some of the things that they've got on Smithsonian. And it talked about canine seal dogs. And these dogs jump out of airplanes. These dogs have goggles made so they can get in the water. These dogs have vests on and a camera that is infrared, and they can, the handler can let them go, and they can see football fields away. They can just send this dog and this camera. Wherever the dog points, the handler can see what's there. They put these, I was telling Dan, I didn't understand it at first, but they put these goggles on these dogs that are infrared and night vision. Well, that's interesting. But the purpose of that is because of their handler has like a laser sight on their weapon. And so if the dog is like 2 football fields away from them or across the field here, all that handler has to do is turn on his laser on his weapon and point it in a particular area out there in the dark. And when that dog sees that laser, he's knowing that evidently his handler says, go that way. And it also has a microphone where they can give commands by radio to the dog and all this stuff. It's really, I found it very interesting. I can't wait until I can talk to the canine guys when I get out here going, you know, they got canine and the SEALs and special forces and all that. Yeah, it's awesome. But anyway, what this handler was saying, that when they're on a mission in Iraq and over in the Middle East, he's been there several tours, is that they build a bond, but they realize that that dog is expendable. And even he himself said, I realize that I'm expendable because of what I am to do and what I've got, that, you know, that makeup of what's in me, is I'm going to run to the battle. I'm going to put my life out there realizing that I may not come home. And I would much rather see my dog step on an explosive or whatever and get blown up and save the lives of 12 other guys. And I will have sorrow and I will be hurtful, but that dog knows that that dog is willing to give up his life. And it's no different than us, myself, is what he was saying, that I have that same demeanor. That's what makes them warriors. You know, that's what makes these guys willing to go into some of this training. But that's that makeup of that person. But see, in us, in our life, you know, what I've got to do is I've got to realize when I'm going through adversity, I'm not going to turn around from God and go the other way. I'm going to keep going and marching on with God and knowing that God goes before me and prepares the way. And he will be there for me. And so as we go through this, in my life as a Christian, you will have adversity. I have adversity. Adversity is always going to be there until you're called home. But know that this, that you will come throughout as, I like it how it says it here, as a winner. As a winner. I know it's hard to understand these things, but it is by what? Faith of this. It's by the faith that I receive and I read these things and I believe. I've not gone through maybe a major catastrophe or an adversity yet, but I know that this is in there. And when that happens, I've got to be able to pull that out. Purpose of the Holy Spirit in us helps us bring these things up even when we don't realize we got it in us, to where all of a sudden this thing pops to the surface. Wait a minute. God said he will be there even when I'm going through adversity, and I will come out a winner. You've got to confess those things, profess those things with your mouth. Amen. The word talks about that. Life and death in our tongue. You confess that you're going to go down, you're going to go down. You believe that? You confess that this is not going to turn out good, I'm going to be destroyed, you will be destroyed. You got to look at it the other way. I'm going to come through this. I'm marching through it. I'm going to use it, and it's going to build me up in my faith, and it's going to help me down the road. And it might not even help me. It might be so I can help this other person 2 years from now, that they may be just a little bit weaker than me, but I'm going to have that faith to share and to help and trust God to take that and say, hey, because what he said in his word, no respecter of person. What he has done for me, he'll do for you. Amen. We find in Hebrews that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I want to look real quick. We've already discussed a little bit of the help situation. Now I want to get back into where it says fear, because I don't know. I mean, even myself, there's times that I can come in fear. How about you? Fear ever get a hold of you sometimes? Ew, man. But we find this, and it helps me understand the fear. And I'm going to go back into this here in Matthew 10:26. It kind of starts there. Matthew 10:26. And it goes in here, and prior to that, about 16 or so, they're talking about persecutions. This is the title of this particular area of Matthew in Matthew 10, that persecutions are coming. And so Jesus is sharing this and talking to his disciples and sharing what's going to happen and the rising up of all these things. But it goes on to say this, therefore, verse 26, Matthew 10:26, therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. In verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? And but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than that little sparrow. So fear, and it's where we get the word phobia. So phobia is defined as a panic that grips a person, causing him to run away and be alarmed, be scared, be frightened, to be dismayed, to be filled with dread. Fear will even intimidate you. It'll make you anxious. It'll make you apprehensive. It talks in Proverbs 29:25, it addresses this fear syndrome about this. It says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be secure. So whatever man tries to do, and man tries to snare you, the enemy, the devil, tries to snare you. He's got these little things out there on your path. You know, even this week coming up, you could have a snare or two on your path that you're on. But don't fear those things. Be ready and be willing to understand that you will be saved from those, or you will see those and walk around them, whatever the case might be. We talk about this now as fear in these areas. In the New Testament would upgrade this thought. So if I go to 1 John, speaking of this fear, 1 John 4:18. This is hard too, but this is where a lot of the battle begins too, as far as understanding how God operates. Because God operates in this one big word that sometimes we always have a hard time maybe following or doing or understanding what it's meaning. But is that of what? Love. In verse 18, so 1 John 5:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now we begin to look at these things and understand it to a point that, you know, we don't understand why these things aren't working the way God says that they're supposed to work in our lives. And we come back, there's a few common things that activate this life of God in our life. And one of those things is what? Fear and love. So we got to love. Perfect love does what? Cast out fear. Perfect love, cast out anxieties and things of that nature. And it's a love that we've got to understand God's terminology of what love is not what man's terminology of love is. Love is totally different by that of the kingdom. Amen? And we understand that if we understand that types of love. The agape love. It's these loves that we have that I love you and I really don't want anything from you, but I just love you and I want to help you and I just want to do what I can. A lot of times in our natural, we'll say, what do you want for that? Why are you being so nice to me? And I'm sure somebody has said that to you when you try to be nice. It's like, I'm just wanting to be nice. I just, you know, I have a concern for you. So we find that love, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out our fear. One other area that we can look at is 2 Timothy 1:7. So for these things of God's word to work within us, We got to walk in forgiveness. We got to walk in love. We got to do these things for God's equation to really fully work in our life. And if you can't walk in love, ask God to give you the love that you can walk in. If you can't walk in forgiveness, ask God to give you the forgiveness for that person, for that situation, so that you can be pleasing to God, so that we get to that level of what God is wanting us to do. So quickly here in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says this. For God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear. But of what? Power. And of love. And of a sound mind. If we are walking in these things of what God is about, we will walk, wow, with a sound mind. Anybody talked with anybody in the last month that you would look at and think about, like, I don't think they're in a sound mind. They're just like, you know. A lot goes on. But we find this, that God has not given us, a child of his, he's not given us that fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind does a wonderful thing for you. If you have a sound mind, it causes you to have safe thinking. The word denotes good judgment, disciplined thought patterns, the ability to understand and make right decisions. It includes the qualities of self-control and self-discipline. We find a lot of that within our own self, that we don't have self-control. We don't have self-discipline. We sometimes, as children of God, we are running rampant with whatever because of things that have come upon us, cometh within us, things that we've allowed ourselves to think on, to allow our minds to not put aside or to say, I've got to change that. I've got to change that. But the whole emphasis throughout the message and the things that I want to share is that your help comes from that of God, and that you should have no fear. You should have no fear. Amen. But it's easy to walk in fear, isn't it? There's times I've walked in fear until I realize that I'm walking in fear, and I go, wait a minute, wait a minute. I should not be this, because the Lord is my helper, and I will fear not. So today, tomorrow, and the week ahead, and things in your life, and the things in your family, whatever the case might be, is don't let that fear overwhelm you. Walk in love. Walk in forgiveness. That's the best thing that as a child of God can do, is to make sure that your plate is clear in that area. Because if we harbor anger, if we harbor hurts, if we harbor unlove for whatever, it all has a way of eroding that equation of what God has for you. I've had things in my life that I've dealt with, and it comes back, and you know, when it does come back, I always think, well, Tim, I thought I dealt with that. Anybody had that? It's like, Lord, a year ago, 8 months ago, 2 years, 5 years, I said, I forgive that person. I'm moving on. And then all of a sudden, something will happen, something will rise on the horizon, and it'll remind me of something like that. And I'll get like, oh, I can't believe that person was this. And then all of a sudden I go, oh my goodness, wait a minute, time out. I'm still harboring that in here. Take it from me, Lord. Take it from me. Keep cleaning it out. But I think some of the victories that we begin to see, even though that still rises up possibly, is that in the past, before the Holy Spirit, I didn't realize it, and it kept festering. But now with the Holy Spirit in me, when that whatever thought, whatever that anger, whatever that thing is that crops back up that's still affecting me, is that instantly the Holy Spirit in me says, beep, beep, hey, this should have been gone. You've asked for forgiveness, or you forgave that person. And it's not to forgive them and say it's okay. You know, forgiveness is, I forgive them, I'm moving on. But the Holy Spirit reminds me of that. And I said, oh, Father, I lay it back down again. I got to lay it down again and move on. And the way to do that sometimes is to put what? My thoughts on him. When that comes back up, rather than think on it, I got to say, oh, Lord, thank you for reminding me. Thank you, Lord, that it's got more on me and it's still got a hold of me longer or more than I thought. And I cast it aside. I put it away. I forgive him, Lord. And then I have to go into either praising him, thinking upon him, talking more to him. to get my subconscious or that mind off of that and upon Him. Again, it kind of, we just comes all back around to, it's up to you. It's up to you what you think on. It's not God. It's not even the devil. It's you personally. We're going to wallow in our past. Are we going to pick ourselves up and say, that's the past. I'm going on to my better tomorrows. I'm going to my better tomorrows. Because they're going to be a lot better. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I love you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you're there to help us. You're there with a concern that we all come through this, Lord. And the way we come through anything of our day is with that of you. And so, Lord, many things have a hold upon us. Many things. But none of them are things that you can't take from us and help us with. Because with you, all things are possible. And Lord, we all want to live to bring honor and glory to you. At least I do, and I believe those here today as well. But that, Lord, there's things that maybe still hinder us and still trip us up. And when those things come, Lord, we will be quick to recognize, quick to repent, and quick to turn those over and turn back from them, whatever it is, Lord, and just continue on that trek with you. I thank you, Father, for your help. I thank you that your word just continues to solidify that within us. Throughout Scripture, that the help is there, that you're our strong tower, that we as weak, we can run to it, and we know that you're there. Oh, Father, thank you right now. I pray for each one here today, no matter what it is, Lord, that they're dealing with or going through, that, Father, your power, your strength will come upon it and show them and help them, Father, see, if nothing else, just a glimmer of hope, a glimmer of help that's there. And when they recognize that and turn more of it to you or focus more on you, that, Father, they will begin to see more of you than that situation. Let us cast our eyes upon you, Father, and allow you, Father, to take care of all the other stuff in the peripheral of our life. And trust you, Father, that you've said in your word, you're never going to leave us nor forsake us. Let us march on with you, I pray. Let us bring honor and glory in our days for people to see you in our lives, and that we can be a light in that dark place and shine it to you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Father. Bless this day again in Jesus' name.